Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word that we've heard. We admit it's a strange word. We often have difficulty figuring out what is in it for us. But give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to see the truth in it for us, that we might live as your faithful disciples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A minister was talking with his doctor about some of the difficulties of the job, especially in the modern day and age. And his doctor said to him, "Yeah, this is what I have. Patients enter my consulting room," she said, "armed with a file of Googled results. They sit down, and instead of telling me their symptoms, they proceed to tell me the diagnosis of their condition and what medication they want me to prescribe." You know, with the advent of the internet and with Google, and I didn't start either one of them, with the advent of online medical help, people do feel that they can be their own experts at just about anything. In the case of medicine, they just need a doctor to write the prescriptions. And I don't know, maybe to sue if the prescriptions don't work. They can't sue themselves, so they've got to. Now, I will admit that after watching a number of episodes of Mystery Diagnosis on Discovery Health, there are times that you do need to become your own medical sleuth. But it's not smart to start out that way. You know, the truth is, we all like to think that we know things, that we're smart enough to find things out, to understand things. And often we have our opinions of how things are, of what is wrong, and of how things should be. And the author of 2 Peter is dealing with that. Now, I don't want you to be confused that the writer of the author of that book, 2 Peter, is the Apostle Peter. This book came much later. And it was not unusual in that time for people to use a famous person's name when they wrote something in order to give it credence or authority. It was an accepted practice. But the author of 2 Peter is writing about false prophecy and the difficulty that the early church was having with it. And basically he says, he uses the original Peter, the Apostle Peter's life and events and witness, and says, "This is true because I was at the Transfiguration event. I saw it." This is not opinion, this is fact. And then he makes an interesting statement. "You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Wait until your faith matures before you start deciding what Jesus really meant. Now, Eugene Peterson wrote the paraphrase of the New Testament entitled The Message. He translates this passage as follows. "The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion." Now, the danger in all of this is that we begin thinking that we know better than God. And this is where we find Peter, James, and John in many ways in our Transfiguration story. They see Jesus. The only way I can put it is like a former moderator of our denomination put it, Susan Andrews. Jesus lit up like a light bulb. And then there's Moses and Elijah standing with him, conversing with him. Two major figures of the Old Testament that, according to the scriptures, no one saw die. And Peter begins to say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, the temptation, well, when we don't know what to do or don't know what to say, is to do something or say something. We hate that feeling of not knowing what to do, of we want to feel like we're doing something. When Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, which Mark read that portion of it for us, but right after that, he was gone 40 days and 40 nights. And the people said, he must have died on the mountain. He's left us. And what did they do? The golden calf was born because they didn't know what else to do. They didn't know what to do with this waiting. And they said, we got to do something. We got to have a God. And they built the golden calf. Very few human beings are comfortable with waiting or sitting quietly. But God makes it perfectly clear that at times that is our best action. Peter makes his comment, and then what does God do? He cuts him off and says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Don't go off on your own. Building shrines. Peter's into a building program. Let's build churches. Build shrines. Jesus said, no. No. We need to go down the mountain. Peter was content to stay up there and worship in his little shrines that he was going to build. They had a good thing going. But Jesus says, no, there's people that need to be healed, people who need to be touched. There's a cross that has to be endured. And if I stay up here and we stay up here, that ain't going to happen. As Christians, we need to learn to wait, to listen. We do not have an advisory role with God, even though there are many who act as if they do. We need to allow time for God to speak to us. You know, when I talk about prayer, most people's perception of prayer is where we close our eyes, maybe fold our hands, and we tell God what's hurting us, what causes us joy, and all of those things. And that certainly is prayer, one part of it. But we forget about the part of prayer that we just sit and listen. Listen for God to talk to us through the still small voice. It is understandable that this passage from Matthew serves as the bookend of the season of Epiphany. With the proclamation that Jesus is God beloved at his baptism and at the transfiguration. However, I think what's more important is that this passage, the transfiguration, is the perfect lead into the season of Lent. During Lent, we talk about giving up stuff. Giving up chocolate. Giving up meat. Giving up whatever. But I think we all would be better served if maybe we gave up a little bit of time from doing something and just sat quietly and listened to God. Read a Bible passage. And then just sit quietly, reflecting on that passage, and see what thoughts come to you. Read a devotional, and then sit quietly and let it speak to your heart. We need more time to do that. We need to do a better job with the listening. Because that's the only way then that the morning star can be born or can dawn in our hearts. If we keep going this way all the time, we're not leaving space for stuff to come this way. For life and light to enter into us. So my prayer for you this Lent is that God may richly bless you with understanding, and that you may be quiet enough to hear it. Amen.